Welcome all. Thanks for tuning in to this preview of Slow Living Through the Seasons, April edition. Spring is here, and with it, the realization that there's a lot to be done. Think about all of those impulses of spring that speak to our human connection to the season. Spring cleaning, planting, starting new projects. Just like the buds that have been hunkered down, waiting through the cold, and are now coming into full bloom, we open up to the increasing light and warmth of the sun, welcoming a sense of renewal. As if the sap running through the trees is also running through our veins. Sarah Teasdale, an early 20th century American poet, speaks of this in her poem, April, as she describes how spring is something we feel, even before we can fully see it. She says, "Yet the backyards are bare and brown, with only one unchanging tree. I could not be so sure of spring, save that it sings in me." We say we are connected to nature, as if humans and the natural world are two separate entities that happen to share something in common. The truth is that we are nature, as much as all of the other life on the planet. We depend every bit as much on the same air, water, and soil. We need food to live and grow until we die, when our bodies are returned to the earth. We are, essentially, another species that could be existing along with all the others, in a way that doesn't disrupt the balance of everything else and throw it all a kilter, like what happens in a Jenga game when you pull out the one piece that causes the whole thing to come crashing down. But somewhere along the line, humans began behaving as if we were not a part of the whole. We created what we called civilization, which in general meant increasing prosperity and comfort for our own species at the expense of others. The idea that the rest of the natural world exists for our use and disposal, however that pertains to our benefit, gradually took ascendancy. Our place and responsibility as part of the ecosystem was forgotten. In our recent conversation with Mary DeYoung on The Good Dirt, Mary states, "We've been telling this story for so long that our language now doesn't even have the ability to connect to the body of the earth as sacred." I'm actually not disparaging all of the advancements and benefits of civilization. The Oxford Dictionary defines civilization as an advanced stage or system of human social development. In my understanding of that definition, destruction of ecosystems and annihilation of multiple species, possibly including our own, is not a necessary outcome of advanced social development. One would think it was the exact opposite, learning to elevate our planetary existence by supporting it, not destroying it. To Mary DeYoung's point, is there a way of speaking that might play a role in helping us reclaim our rightful cooperative place on the planet? Can we create a place and a language for both civilization and sacred earth? Again, yes, we are connected to nature, but we are actually so much more than connected. Again, we are nature. We are one and the same with the natural world, subject to the same needs and vulnerabilities. We are not separate from the calamities that take place in the oceans and the atmosphere and the soil. Those things affect us directly in so many ways. A subject that's well beyond the scope of this discussion here, but this is something that I think we all really already know. The 22nd of April is the celebration of Earth Day, a yearly event founded in 1970 to raise awareness and demonstrate support for the environment. Since then, EarthDay.org has mobilized over 1 billion people annually in efforts to protect the planet and its resources. Culturally, Earth Day provides a focal point on the calendar to highlight the issues we face and organize activities and initiatives for individuals and communities, bringing solutions to our environmental crisis. Now celebrating 54 years, Earth Day can claim a remarkable legacy of environmental action including legislation, education, and literacy. We highly recommend going to the website earthday.org for some really great information on the history of Earth Day itself and what has happened in the half century since it began, plus a wealth of up-to-date information on stories, initiatives, and articles on the most pressing issues in environmental news. We also look forward to sharing with you our interview with Emily Walker, Education Coordinator of EarthDay.org, on the April 19th episode of The Good Dirt. So that's our preview of this episode. In the full version, I'll be talking about planting by the signs of the moon in April, how to make friends with some common spring weeds, and even bringing some of them into your kitchen with my recipe for violet lemon crisps. I'll also be talking about why I won't be going to the garden center for my usual big plant haul this year. If you'd like access to this episode, you can easily join our online community, The Almanac, now in Substack, by going to the link in the show notes and signing up. We look forward to seeing you there. Oh, and one more thing before I go. We're now offering a 20% off code from Pine Tree Garden Seeds to help you save even more for your garden this year by starting your plants from the ground up. Pine Tree Garden Seeds is a wonderful family-owned company that offers an extensive selection of safe, high-quality, non-GMO seeds with the mission of supporting the ideals of responsible and organic gardening practices. We're so happy to have them as sponsors on the Good Dirt podcast this season, and we want to share with you this opportunity. So go to www.superseeds.com and use the code GOODDIRT2024 for 20% off your order. That's www.superseeds.com and use the code GOODDIRT2024 for 20% off your seed order. You'll see that link in the show notes, and we'll see you next month.